Hello, everybody, and thank you for tuning in to the Liberty Report. With us today is Daniel McAdams, our co-host. Daniel, good to see you.
Good to see you, Dr. Paul.
Is the world better off? We had heard the big speech.
Yeah, and, fun.
People were on pins and needles, but I don't think it's going to go down in history as the greatest presidential State of the Union message. But anyway, in a few minutes, we'll probably talk about that a little bit. But I also wanted to talk about something that I watch every day, whether I mention it or not, and that is in economics. And ever since they made gold legal in this country, and there was a market for gold, I probably watch the price of gold every single day.
I see you doing it. I watch you watching it.
Because it's a signal, you know. And then you have to interpret, what is the government doing? What are the markets doing? And there's a lot of variables, and Mises says there are too many variables. That's why you can't predict it. There's many pros and cons. But anyway, a lot of people. I asked Jim Grant this once. So what was his favorite thing? He said he looked at gold too. The first thing tells you a whole lot.
Yeah.
But before 1971, it was illegal, so it wasn't worth very much, except when you looked at the you could look at gold shares. You could look at the black market. I became interested in the 60s about gold, but was frustrated that, you know, I couldn't even go out and buy a gold coin. It was so the politics of it all and the monetary policy fascinated me more than just being able to buy gold. And but it's been around and it's building. This past week, it's bumping around. It's top price. It's over 2,000 of an ounce of an ounce.
Wow.
Ounce. And I'll tell you what, back then in the early 70s when this first happened, when gold doubled and tripled, you know, that's a big deal. What if it doubled and tripled now? It would be so it was doubling and tripling and quadrupling. So it started at 35. By the end of that decade, it was up to $800.
Wow.
But it's been up and down since then. And but people had to realize they had to adjust their thinking about how do they protect against that. It vacillates. It's all over the place. It's the destruction of the dollar. What's it going to do to your property? Should you buy gold? Well, it's not legal yet, but people bought it when it became legal, which was 1971. And this is something that's difficult. And that's one of the reasons that we talk a lot about Birch Gold, because Birch Gold is with us on this program, we talk to them frequently, and they offer some advice. And I talk about gold, and sometimes I lean over to being sympathetic one way or the other, but I'm not an investment advisor. So the Birch people are advisors, because there are various ways you can invest in gold. You can just buy gold coins, and it's not the worst thing in the world. But you can do different things in your retirement accounts. You can buy gold shares. And there's a lot of different ways. And that's one thing that Birch Gold offers. The one thing is they have a lot of information, and I see them as a company that provides information and guidance in how to protect against the monstrosity of the inflation of a bipartisan function of government, print. And that's one thing I always could rely on with confidence. What they're doing, I don't know when and where, but the way the two parties print money and blame the other party for spending too much money is not going to stop. It is not stopping. It's going to get much worse. And right now, if somebody said, well, you know, and there are some, and sometimes I wonder about it, you know, gold could double and triple again. But, you know, I think that's the wrong way to approach it. I think that is possible, but it's hard to believe. But what about back in the 70s when it was $35 an ounce and going up? Well, anyway, if any of our viewers decide they're interested in getting more information from Birch Gold, you can text Ron at 989898, and you'll get in touch with Birch Gold. And they will provide you with information. They will send the information to you. It doesn't cost you any money, and they help teach people how to transfer ordinary funds from one group over into something where they will be protected by gold. And it's something that's been going on for a long time, and I'm fascinated with it mainly because I'm interested in monetary policy and how important gold is to subsidizing big government. And since I have a strong feeling about what to expect from big government, it's going to continue and it's going to get a lot worse. So there's no reason to say, there was a congressman that hated gold. Royce was his name. And he was in Congress when we fought to legalize gold. He says, "Well, I'll tell you what, if you guys get gold legalized, yeah, I tell you what's going to happen. It's all going to go down to $35 an ounce." Well, he was wrong on that one, and he was the big gold guru. But we don't know exactly when and how much, but I think it's important to think that when you're protecting and trying to think this through, you have to think not only of the price of gold or profits in gold, what you have to think about is what's happening to our dollar. And yet today, we heard a speech last night, and both parties endorse it, talk about prices, price controls, and wage and price controls, all these things, and they look at prices. But that's the right thing to look at, but for the wrong reason. It is the prices going up, but it's not about gold or because people's charging too much and the businessman's gouging people and the labor unions charge too much for labor. It has all to do with the devaluation of the dollar, and that's what we have been doing for a long time, and we're going to continue to do that until I assume it'll come to a rather bad ending. So once again, if you're interested in any information getting from Birch Gold, you can text Ron at 989898. Very good. And
yeah,
Daniel, what are we going to talk about today in more depth? I would say we have to at least say something about that wonderful speech, but I wanted to narrow it down because you don't have to confess what you did about the speech last night. But I watched half.
Oh wow, that's a lot.
Yeah, I watched half. But the whole thing is the speeches you don't get a whole lot of. And the best summary I had came from somebody that we tend to appreciate. And that's from this guy called Tucker Carlson. You remember him?
Yeah, I do indeed.
No, his quote was pretty good. So if you don't want to read his speeches and you don't want to read anything out there, his said it all. "That was possibly the darkest, most un-American speech given by the American president. It wasn't a speech. It was a rant."
It was
truly a rant. And there's a lot of bad morality in it, bad foreign policy in it, bad monetary policy in it, and then the blame game goes on. You know, Biden was able to get up there and say, you know, it's all the Republicans' fault we have trouble at the border.
Yeah.
Well, sometimes it's the fault of inflation and spending it's a problem of both parties. But to try to get to say, well, the Republican has all the problems at the border, I think it's overstepping the view.
Yeah.
The American people are sick and tired of that. But one comment last night when the debate was going on, Pelosi had a comment. She was annoyed because she's been annoyed before. And she's annoyed me before.
Yeah, a few times.
So Pelosi was annoyed because they called the person that murdered Lake and Riley, which was an abhorrent murder, a young teenager and 20 years old or whatever. It was just so tragic. So she had to criticize it. Boy, they should have never called her an illegal, the murderer, calling the murderer an illegal, illegal who did the killing. He was undocumented.
Yeah.
Boy, if we just would have more documenters out there, we wouldn't have any problem. And I think that's what's happening. You know, Biden even claims the crime rate's going down. he counts crimes in a different way than we do.
Yeah, I think so.
So anything he said. But what is your first confession about the election?
I didn't watch it. I did not watch the speech. I wasn't interested. I spend all of my days, all the time I'm on the clock looking at terrible things. I don't want to do it. No, I mean, we've watched them before. You and I, you've live tweeted them before when it was Trump. But I just didn't expect much from this. And so I scoured the internet afterward. I read the same article that you read on Hedge, and I read on Twitter X. But from everything that I've seen, you can basically summarize the speech up with this next, with this picture. This is basically captures the whole speech. Biden screaming and poor old Speaker Johnson saying, this seems weird.
I thought he was the greatest on the program. He expressed himself without saying a word.
Yeah, he did, very subtly. But I did find a good summary, and this is from the Zero Hedge article, and they grabbed something off of Twitter X. And I think this pretty much summarizes it. Fund Ukraine. Trump is a threat to democracy and America itself. Abortion is good. American economy stronger than ever. Inflation wasn't Biden's fault. Illegals are Americans, too. Republicans are responsible for the border crisis. Trump is bad. Biden stands with trans children. And January 6th was the worst insurrection since the Civil War.
So I was listening to what you said because I wanted to see if they passed the test. And I came up, he flunked. He flunked on that one.
Yeah, he did. The one thing that I would say, and I watched a few clips of it, and I really don't like this. People might say I'm old-fashioned, whatever, but I really do not like the heckling during the speech. And you had it from some Republicans, even some that we like. Marjorie Taylor Greene is good, but you could say that the government doesn't deserve our respect because they're a bunch of thugs. That's true. But still, when you sit there and you watch the heckling of a president, even if he's a bad president, it just brings us closer to idiocracy. And I know you haven't seen the film. There's a lot of bad language. I don't recommend watching it. However, there's a scene in the future where there's a president who gives a speech with a gun, and everyone's screaming, and he fires the gun. It's almost like we're getting to that point, and I just don't like seeing that very much.
Congress got busy, though, working on another law. I passed the House 251 to 170, which comes down hard on this criminal who murdered who murdered Lincoln. And and 170 Democrats, though, voted against it.
Wow.
And it wasn't the answer to it because it described just another law. And the real problem is what leads up to this. It is our border problems. It is our economic problems. It is the lack of a constitutional approach to this. It is this a whole idea that if you subsidize something, you get more of it, and that's natural, and you should have been able to predict it. So would you say we have subsidized immigration, illegal immigration, to a big margin? So that's, and that always leads to a problem. And what should you expect? Are you going to bribe people and they won't come in here illegal? No, you get a lot more. And they are using the word that I've used for a long time on this. I call it an invasion.
Yeah.
You know, the individuals are coming in. I'm sure there are plenty of sad, tragic cases there. But by feeding into it and subsidizing them and giving them the red carpet approach, it makes no sense, especially which is going to really tear this country apart in this election, and that is at the expense of the people who want to just be left alone and they're earning a living and the money's taken from him and given to people to come in here and stay in hotels and who knows what.
Yeah.
And free medical care, the whole works. It's really bad.
Well, you know, one way to stop this problem, and it won't be 100% effective, but both parties support this, stop bombing and sanctioning the countries where these people come from. I mean, a lot of them are coming from Venezuela. Now, they have an economic system that does produce poverty. However, when you combine a flawed economic system with sanctions, decades of sanctions, you know, U.S. blockades, et cetera, you're creating the poverty that will bring them over to the U.S. So stop the interventionist foreign policy. It's not a magic bullet, but at least it will give some relief, I think.
Yeah, and you can apply that same principles to different areas of the economy. You might say, let's have a non-interventionist by the insiders on monetary policy, manipulation of interest rate, the most important price in the economy. It's totally manipulated, and everybody's supposed to guess what it means, and that's why you have the distortion and the people suffer, and the people who they're trying to help is they get poorer. They're actually paying the bills. This is, you know, the public justification for all this stuff that Republicans and Democrats do is to help the middle class. Now, I happen to have a libertarian free market approach, and I'm convinced if you really want to help the middle class and the poor, what you do is you have an economic policy where there's an incentive system involved, and you're rewarded for good work. But no, that's not the case. So yeah. that is a mess. So,
well, let's move on to the kind of the main thing we wanted to talk about. Well, we have to talk about the speech, but this is something that really got under your skin a couple of days ago, and you wanted to save it for Friday. Our colleague Chris is out, so everyone's stuck with me as the sidekick. Chris is much smarter than I am. But move on, actually, to the main go. Yeah, there we go. So you saw this and were upset about it yesterday, rightly so. California moves to expand zero-down interest-free loan program to illegal immigrants. California.
Back to subsidizing something, you get more of it, right?
Yeah.
And but you know, I read through it, and the justification why you shouldn't worry about it is not a real cost. It's just a loan. If they sell the house, they have to pay back the loan. And I thought, well, maybe that'll be 10 years. Maybe how are you going to work? How are you going to do the math and the regulation? But the other big thing is they decided, because when they sell the house, the government's going to get back its loan. I said, yeah, like they got the student loans back.
Yeah.
You know, the ones that are conscientious about it paid it back, and then they had to pay for the people who didn't pay it off, and then they're not going to.
Yeah, I remember back in 07 and 08 when the housing crisis happened, and I wasn't doing that, so I only heard it from the periphery, but I remember you and Paul Martin and them working on this so hard, and it just seems like we've learned nothing. The fallacy that your house will always increase in value automatically and you can just pay it off. I mean, they haven't learned a thing since 08.
But then they visualize that if you give everybody a house and loan them the money, there'll have to be some money exchange, money out of one person's pocket to pay for the other, that it will circulate and increase the economy. So they think it's a real great stimulus. Well, you know, when there's an announcement on a few of these loans made, it might stimulate government housing, you know, for a week or two, but it's not a solution. It's mischief, and it's based on the principle of stealing from one person and giving it to another, because the people whose money this is are the people who do nothing suffer the consequences, because they get taxed.
Yeah.
They have to pay the inflation tax. So it's just horrible. But that's the last thing they think about in Congress, I thought, was have the pros and cons on a piece of legislation based on a moral basis.
Yeah.
And they'll brag about the Constitution and other things, but most of the time, the most important thing, and I've said this before, the most important time is looking at the list who sponsors the bill, which lobbyist says this is a no yes vote, this is a no vote. That's the one that's the bottom line for a lot of them.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's just give a little bit of explanation what the bill is, if you can put the next one on. It's Assembly Bill 1840 in the California State Assembly, and it would change existing law to allow illegal immigrants, maybe we should call them undocumented, right? to be eligible for the California Dream for All Fund, which provides interest-free loans for a down payment on first-time buyers. So basically, there's already a program that says, hey, want some money? Here's some money. Here's some free money. They just want to extend it. And here is the Democrat in the Assembly, Joaquin Arambula, and here's his rationale for introducing this bill. He wanted to ensure that qualified first-time home buyers included undocumented applicants, so people that aren't allowed to be here, they can still have this.
Okay, I was just going to bring up another sentence from that article. It says the social and economic benefits of home ownership should be available to everyone.
Yeah,
that's good. Freedom should be available to everyone. He said, arguing that it's wrong to exclude people from the benefits of the California Dream for All Fund program just because they're illegal immigrants and they want to get their house built with stolen money that the government is the participant in.
Yeah.
And also, I wanted to add, the illegal immigrants where the votes will come from.
Oh, yeah, you bet, yeah.
Well, but that's not polite to say that. Biden didn't mention that last night.
Here's some money and here's your voting registration. We filled out the form for you conveniently. Yeah. But I did want to point out one thing, though, because we're not just picking on Democrats. Both sides don't get it. And this jumped out at me in the article, Dr. Paul. I'm sure you saw it, too, if you can put this next one on. Here's the this is so typical of the Republican response to stupid Democrat things. If you can put that next one up. Now, this is Brian Dahl. He's a Republican assembly member in California. Here's what he said. Assembly Bill 1840 is an insult to California citizens who are being left behind and priced out of home ownership. I'm all for helping first-time home buyers, but give priority for those who are here in our state legally. In other words, he's saying, I'm all for stealing money to give it to people, but you should do it the Republican way.
As long as we can designate who we're bribing for the next vote. No, it's criminal, and that's why the non-aggression principle is so important, that if you can't do it on a personal level, you can't go and steal somebody's house or their cars or anything, but you can always send a member of Congress to vote a certain way, and all of a sudden, they're good people. They're moral people. They care about their neighbors. But, of course, if you look at Venezuela and seen what happened there and Zimbabwe, it doesn't work. But it's happening here. You know, the consequence, you can't divorce and excuse what we see in our big cities now with crime, because all that stuff is built on crime. This will stir up some resentment, but the government's involved in criminal activity. Yeah. Well, the whole idea, well, we don't have the money, but no sweat, they're still taking it. We'll print the money, we're counterfeiters, and they don't care. So it's all built on illusion, and they must delude themselves, you know, that nothing could happen. But there's no record on history where some of the fiat currency stuff has lasted a long time, but they eventually gets caught up and it leads to suffering, and it usually ends up in war too.
The thing that catches me, that gets me about this Republican response, and we're not picking on him because I'm sure if you surveyed all of them, they don't believe in the free market. The free market determines those who are eligible to buy a home. If you interfere with that market, you'll have people in a home that they can't afford, and then they'll lose the home and lose everything with it. Republicans, as this assemblyman, fundamentally don't believe in the free market. And what's ironic is people like him, and I'm not picking on him, but others like him, they would be the first to scream and rant about these socialist hellholes like Venezuela. But people like him are just every bit as socialist as the leaders of Venezuela. They don't believe fundamentally that markets make choices, and they will tell you what you can and can't do. I'd love to live in $1 million house. I can't afford it. The market's telling me I don't have enough money. And so it's terrible to see Republicans just as socialist as
Democrats. Well, even this is pretty upfront about who should get the loans and all. The proposed bill seeks to amend the bill of the California Health and Safety Code to include a subsection that reads, an applicant under the program shall not be disqualified solely based on the applicant's immigration status. that's the reason you give it to them, because and we don't want them to be illegal. We have to find out how to soften that accusation.
Well, I'm going to close out, I think, if you're ready, Dr. Paul. And I'm just here for the ride today. Chris will be back, and everyone will be happy. But I still want to thank everyone for watching the show on Fridays and every day. So I hope you'll tune in when we're back on Monday.
Very good. And I, too, want to thank the viewers for tuning in today. And it was a little bit of a mix-up, mainly because we had a little problem with our Internet. Yet we did get the program out. It probably will arrive a little bit late for some people, but we feel obligated to do our best to reach you as often as we can to try to give our spin on what is happening and why it's not people who want to take care of themselves and seem responsible and they're moral and they want to believe in the Constitution. That does not cause all this. All this nonsense is going to come to an end, and bits and pieces every day we see it. So if they can take a monetary system that when they inherited or took it away from the private sources, so to speak, and gold is $20 an ounce, and now it's over $2,000 an ounce. People must wake up and say, well, how does that work? Who gets all these benefits? Well, the first group that gets the benefit is the government, because they get to spend it. And then the second people to get it are the financiers and the big corporations. And the last people to get it are the people that, didn't get it. They got a pay raise, but it never even came close to the cost of living increases, and they get stuck with it. And they say, "Well, is those people gouging us?" No, it's the politicians and the bureaucrats who believe in this system, and they believe that inflation, destruction of the currency, is a good way, to take care of the poor, which is a bunch of lies. And someday we have to expose them on that, and more people know today there's something wrong. So far, there's too many people blaming the wrong thing, and that's why I think economic education is so important, and why I highly recommend that people get engaged in studying Austrian free market economics. I want to thank everybody for tuning in today to the Liberty Report. Please come back soon.